Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Shalom. We're now in Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Hey Amud Aleph, near the top of the Amud. And to properly understand this sugya, let's go back and take a look at the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. And the second clause, Gazal Param Uberet V'yalda Rachel Te'una U'Gazaza. If you stole a cow that was already pregnant, and then she gave birth, or a lamb that was already laden with wool, and you sheared it, you pay the value, basically, of what you stole, which was a cow that was about to give birth, or a lamb that was about to be sheared, but you do not have to return the shearings. Gazal para v'nit abra etzlo v'yalda, Rachel v'nit ana etzlo v'guzaza, mishalem kishat ha'gzela. But if you stole a cow and then it became pregnant under your watch, or a lamb and it became laden under your watch, and then you, in either case, it gave birth or you sheared it, and you kept, of course, the produce, the products, then you pay kishat ha'gzela as an unladen lamb or as an unpregnant cow. Zehaklal, here's the rule, kol gazlanim mishalemim kishat hagzela. We'll deal with that last piece in the next podcast. But for right now, take a look back at the Gemara Daf Tzadi Hey. Gazal parav mi'uberet v'yalda. Tana Rabbanan, let's take a look at this. Gazal rachel u'gzaza parav v'yalda. If you stole a lamb and then sheared it, or a cow and then it gave birth, mishalem otav et gizotav et v'ladotav divrei Rabbi Meir. A mayor, standing against our Mishnah, says you have to pay the value of the animal plus all of the produce, the products. Rabbi Yehuda omer, gzela chozeret beineha. You return it as is. Rabbi Shimon omer, ro'ino ta ki'ilu hi shuma etzlo b'kesef. We see it as something that's assessed, in other words, a value, which we have to see, first of all, why Rabbi Meir says what he does, and second of all, where Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda disagree. That's what we'll deal with today. Ibayalu, first question is, my Tamad Rameir, why does Rameir say that you have to return the animal and all of the products that are produced under your watch? Is it Mishum de Kasavar Shin Kumome? Does he agree with all of those other opinions that we saw Abaya align and Rava malign that alignment that said Shinui is not a Kinyan, and therefore when the animal gave birth, or that was sheared, that's not a shinui, you're not kona, everything belongs to him. Perhaps normally he holds shinui kona. And here we put a knas on him, we don't want him to gain from his robbery. Now, the main nafkamina, the answer is, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, in case instead of it getting better, it got worse. Because if you say shinui kumome, then if it got worse, you still give it to him, and he suffers. If, on the other hand, it's a knas, then we're certainly not going to be kones in the negative and have him give it back as is without paying the difference. Toshma, let's see if we can settle it. Gazal behema v'hizkina avadim v'hizkinu, if he stole an animal and it got old, so it's no longer worth as much, or the same thing with slaves. Mishalem kishat hagzela. You pay as per the original value when you stole it. Remeir omer b'avadim omer lo v'shalcha l'fanecha. He says, when it comes to slaves, just give the slave over to them and say, here's your slave back, as is. V'ilu behema kishat hagzela. But behema, you have to pay like the original value. Now, Yisal kudaito sover Rameir shinum kumomed. If Rameir really held that shinua doesn't do anything, afilu behema nami. A behema you should also give back and say, here's your old cow now. Halav shvaminak sover Rameir shinui konab. Clearly, Rameir holds that shinui does make a difference. V'ha knas hu kalkanis. And in the case of gzela, it's a knas. So Amri, the response in the Beit Midrash was, Rabbeinu l'divrahim d'Rabbanan kamar lehu. Maybe Rameir was not stating his own position, but he was tussling with the Rabbanan on their field, meaning, l'didi shinui eno kona. I personally hold that shinui doesn't do anything, and therefore I feel the behema nami. Even a behema, you should give back as is. Elo l'didchu damritu shinui kona, but you who hold shinui kona, this is all what we're theorizing the disagreement was, you should at least agree with me that an eved is given back as is, because eved is like karka. A karka in an exela, because there is no din of exela by karka, and therefore if you snatch karka, then you give it back as is. V'amri the Rabbanan, and what did the Rabbanan answer to him in this theoretical construct, reconstruction? Lo, avdi kemetaltali dami, avadim are like metaltalim, just like behema, shinui is kona, the eved got old, therefore you have to pay as per the original amount. That may be what's going on, so it may be that Rameir personally holds Shinui Inokone, and here he was just speaking Alibid Rabbanan. So let's see if we can do it any better. Toshma, and this is a case of an artisan who messes up, specifically a dyer who was given some wool to dye one color and dyed it a different color. What does he have to pay? He switched colors. The dyer has to pay the customer for the value of the wool that he gave him. He doesn't have to pay him for the upgrade because whatever color he made it is worth more than it was undyed. If he thinks that Shinu is not Kona, he should pay him for the wool and for the dye because it all belongs to the original guy. It must be that Meir agrees that Shinui is Kona, and when this dyer dyed the wool the wrong color, he then became the owner. He has to pay the value of the wool, and the appreciation of the wool now that it's dyed, that appreciation belongs to the dyer. In the case of Gzela, Meir simply Konas and says, you have to give all the appreciation over to the original owner, Shmamina. Now, Ika Damri, some people view this entire discussion a little differently. Haloi Bailan, we never were wondering whether or not Reb Meir held Shinui Kona or not. Why? Mida'apich Rav Etani. Rav took that braita that we just had about the Behem and the Eved and switched the positions. Gazal Parvizkina, Vadim Vizkino, Mishalim Kishatak Zelad, Reb Meir. Reb Meir is the one who says consistently you pay as per the original amount. Kashinui Kona. Chachomarim Avadim, Omer Lohavishach Alfanecha. And it's the Rabbanan who said that we agree with you about a behemoth, but when it comes to Avadim, just hand them back as is. Vadai the Reb Meir Shinui Kona. So certainly Reb Meir holds Shinui Kona. V'hachaknas u'dekal kanislei. And certainly, in our case, the opening brayta in this piece, where Reb Meir says you have to give him back the para and the baby, it's a knas. Ki komi bailan, what was our question about? Hachi bailan. Ki kanis b'mezid avashogig lo kanis. Does Reb Meir only apply this knas if the fellow stole intentionally, but not if he made a mistake and somehow affected the other person's stuff, b'shogeg? Maybe even b'shogeg. Now, how could you have a case of shogeg when it's something like gzeila? So let's test it. Toshma. Chamisha govin min ha-mechurarin. There are five collectors who can only collect from b'nei chorin, meaning from property that has no lien on it. Ve'elohin, what are they? Perot. Reshevach Perot, that's what we're going to look at. Hamakabal alav lazun ben ishto uvat ishto. Vegerchov shein bo achrayut, uchtubat isha shein bo achrayut. Alright, so let's take a look at these. Take a look at what these are. Perot, and Shevach Perot is as far as, when a property was owed to somebody and then was sold to another, and the Baal Chov comes to collect it, the payrot of the property really go back to the lokeach. The Baal Chov just has a claim on the karak itself, so that's payrot and shevach payrot. The other items here are if a person accepts the responsibility to feed his wife's children, or a shtar chov or a ketubah that has no achrayut on it, of course they can't collect from a shubarin. That's what the lack of achrayut is. Now, the question is, if you have a shtar chov, and this is a sugya in the beginning of Bamitzi, the first parak of Bamitzi, if you have a shtar that does not have achrayut written on it, do we assume it to be a mistake of the sofer and achrayut is assumed, or should we read that the omission is deliberate? That's a machloket Rameir and Chachamim. Man shavalei damar achrayut lav taot sofer hu. So obviously, whoever is the author of this breita that talks about a shtar she'in bo achrayut must agree that achrayut is a meaningful omission. When it's left off a shtar, it means there is no achrayut and you can't collect from mishubadim. Who is that authority? Reb Meir he. Uktani, and so Reb Meir is therefore associated with this braita. And what does it say in the braita? Perot u'shevach perot. Shevach perot echidami. What is shevach perot? Kingon shegazal sadeh michaviro. A guy stole a field. U'machra liacher. And then he sold it to a third party. V'ishpicha. And now it got better. It appreciated. V'hi yotza mitachet yado. And now the owner is coming to collect it from the fellow who bought the hot field, as it were. Kshehu goveh et hakeren min chasim mishubadim. He collects the capital from chasim mishubadim. Ve'et hashevach min chasim b'nei chorin. Whatever the appreciation is, he collects from b'nei chorin. But what does that prove to you? That proves to you that he can collect even the shavach. And even though the fellow who bought it, it was clearly b'shogeg. So da'ata bal ari v'shakel ari v'shvachei. He takes the shavach. So therefore we see, my love, mama aritz v'lo yada the karkan exalto and an exalet. Aren't we talking about a case where the thief was an ama aritz who did not know whether karkan exalet or not an exalet? Afilu, meaning b'shogeg, v'afilu hachikati bal karka v'shakel ari v'shivcha. And nonetheless, the guy came. He takes the land, the original owner takes the land, and it's shavach. So what do we see from there? A mayor who we assume is the author of that braita because of the mention of achrayut, says that shavach peirot, which we assume to be a case where an am haaretz, meaning somebody who's not familiar with the law, in this case, stole the land, did not know whether it's nigzal or not nigzal, and then, so that means that everything from here on in vis-a-vis shavach peirot is an issue of shogeg, and nonetheless, Reb Meir says you collect the shavach peirot, which means that this knas of, in the case of Exela, the nigzal being able to collect the appreciation even extends when the gazlan does a b'shogeg. Amri, we said, no, look, we're talking about where the purchaser, the third party, is not an am haaretz who doesn't know about the stuff, but rather he's a tamen chacham, and he knows. And he knows that karkan and exalet. And that's why, so there's a mazid here, and so therefore a mayor says it, okay? So we still do not know whether a mayor would extend the knas to a case of shogeg. Let's see if we could settle it this way. Toshma, let's go back to the dyer. Again, the same ruling. You do not pay back the appreciation. Think about this. If Reb Meir would say you have to be kones, even b'shogeg, and this is a much clearer case of shogeg, because the dyer is not intentionally hurting anything, he just got the wrong order and did the wrong color. So if that's the case, then Reb Meir, certainly, the fact that he says that you only pay for the tzemer proves he did not extend his knas to a case of shogeg. Okay, shvamina. All right, now, back to the braita. Rabbi Yehuda omer, gzela chozer peineha. You return the gzela as is. Shimon omer, ro'ino taki ilu hishuma etzol b'kesef. You see it as if it's assessed at a value. So my benai, what's the difference between them? So there's two takes on this. Amrav zvid. They're disagreeing about shavach that's part of the body of the animal, as opposed to shavach that's a market price. You know, you stole a cow at $100, and the price of cows went up. That's appreciation that's off of the body. On the other hand, you stole a cow, and the cow got pregnant. That's appreciation that's al gabei gzela. Rabbi Yehuda savar de nigzal have. He says that belongs to the nigzal. That even though the gazlan keeps, according to Rabbi Yehuda, gets to keep regular shevach, but shevach that's part of the body of the animal, so you have to give the animal back pregnant, and therefore it's worth more. Shimon Sarar de Gazlan Avram. Shimon says no, there's an assessment of value, but the Gazlan keeps the shevach. That's Rav Zvid. Rav Papa Mar de Chuliyama Shevach Shal Gabe Mila Shal Gabe Gzela de Gazlan Ave. He says everybody agrees that that shevach belongs to the Gazlan. So what's the machloket? It's an interesting take. A guy stole a cow. The cow was a regular cow. The cow now suddenly is pregnant, and the cow is well fed, and whatever it may be. That is the sort of thing that you would normally pay a worker X amount of money. And instead of it being X amount of money, at least in their agronomic setting, they would pay a certain percentage. So let's say one-third of the appreciation or one-fourth of the appreciation goes to the worker. So here's how it goes. Rabbi Yehuda savar shevach shagabe gzela kule de gazlan have. He says the shevach, the entire baby that's born or sheep that's the wool that's sheared goes to the gazlan. Rishimon savar the mechzel shishavihu de shakul gazlan. The gazlan can only take the same percentage that a worker would take if he was hired to do that kind of job, to take a cow and take it to stud and get it pregnant and successfully deliver it or wherever it may be. So Rav Papa says the machloket is not whether it belongs to the nigzal, it certainly belongs to the gazlan. The question is, does it all belong to the gazlan, as per Rav Yehuda, or does only that percentage, which if he were a worker he would get, belong to him, as per Rav Shimon? All right, let's test that. Tanan, go back to our Mishnah. Gazal paravnit abra etzlo v'yalda. If you stole a cow, that was not pregnant, and under your watch it became pregnant and gave birth. Rachel nitana etzol v'gzaza. Same thing with wool and a sheep. Meshalem kishat gzela. You pay as per the original amount. Now the implication is yalda in lo yalda hadra be'ena. It's only because it already gave birth that you just hand back the post the cow post giving birth. But lo yalda. But if it's still pregnant, hadra be'ena, you return it as is, even though it's worth far more now as a pregnant cow. Now, bishtamal the Rav's Vid, according to the first take, Rav's Vid's take on the machloket, damar shevach shalgabe gzela denigzal havi the Rabbi Yehuda, he says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shevach that's on the body of the gzela goes back to the nigzal. That's very easy. Then our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that if the you stole the animal and then it got pregnant and you returned it pregnant, you have to return the whole thing, because the shevach shalgabe gzela belongs to the nigzal. And our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Hello, Rav Papa, but according to Rav Papa, who said, Amar the Gazlan Havi, says, everybody agrees that that Shevach belongs to the Gazlan, Hamani, that our Mishnah is neither Rabbi Yehuda nor Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Rav Papa, this is how Rav Papa could answer it. Hu adin afil lo yalda namik shadak zelahu de mishalim. He said, when the Mishnah said that you stole a cow, and then it became pregnant, then it gave birth, you pay as per the original amount, it would be even true if you stole the animal and then it became pregnant and had not yet given birth and you return it. You'd still pay the original amount, and the up value would be yours. V'hadiktani yalda, so then why did the Mishnah pick a case where it already gave birth? I did not say v'resha yalda, nasiv seifanam yalda, because remember in the earlier case in the Mishnah, talked about stealing a pregnant cow, and then it gave birth. It had to have given birth to make that case meaningful. Therefore here, it picked a case where you stole it unpregnant, it got pregnant and gave birth. But yalda here is simply parallel construction. Nasiv seifa nami yalda. All right, and now, Tanya kavateh Rav Papa. After it seemed that Rav Papa was up against the ropes because of the implication of our Mishnah, it turns out that Rav Papa has a bright day to support him. Rabbi Shimon omer ro'ino ta ki'ilu hishuma etzol bekesef lemetzal shishviviya. Rabbi Shimon says, against Rabbi Yehuda, that when you stole an animal and then it gave birth or whatever, you assess it vis-a-vis the labor costs, that percentage that you would get as a worker, a half, a third, a fourth, whatever. Okay, Amar Rashi, Kavinan Be'Rav Kahana, when we were in Rav Kahana's yeshiva, Ibayalan, we asked the question, Rav Shimon da'amar l'mechzal shishavi, according to Rav Shimon, who says that the gazlan collects that percentage that a worker would get, hudashako gazlan, kimisal kinan lay, how do you pay him off? You pay him off with money. Or can he take from the animal itself? We inferred the answer from the statement of Shmuel. There's three situations where we estimate the appreciation and we pay them off with money. What is that? Bechor lepashut. If a bechor took his double portion, an inheritance. But remember, any appreciation of the land that happened after father died does not go into that special division. So therefore, they have to assess how much appreciation happened afterwards, and the Bechor pays the Pashut back. He doesn't have to give him more land. He can pay him off with money. Balchov lalokeach, same thing when a Balchov comes to collect land that was assigned to his debt, and then the fellow sold it, so he collects it from the lokeach. The appreciation of the land under the lokeach stays with the lokeach. So how does the Baal Chov pay the lokeach back? Does he have to give him a little slice of the land? Or can he pay him with money? The answer is with money. O Baal Chov liyitomim. Same deal when a Baal Chov is collecting from heirs a debt that their father had. So Amar Ravina Ravashi. So that's the answer, is that only in these three cases do we do a pedamim, which implies that in our case it would be with the land itself. Now, we're going to spend the rest of our time here looking at that particular case, which is Baal Chov Lokeach. Amar le Ravina Ravashi, mi amar Shmuel Baal Chov Lokeach yav le Shavach. Since when did Shmuel say that the Baal Chov has to pay Lokeach Shavach at all? Imagine this. A Baal Chov, a fellow lends somebody money, $1 million. That $1 million is a size associated and there's a lien put on with the borrower's field. The borrower then sells his field to another guy. Baal Chov comes to collect, the borrower doesn't have any money, he's disappeared. He comes to collect now from the Lokeach to collect his land. Lokeach has this field worth $1 million, and now it's worth $1.2 million because he built something on it, he grew something on it, whatever it is. Shmuel's of the opinion that the Baal Chov does not have to pay the Lokeach back that amount, and he gets the entire field as is. We'll see, it's not so simple. V'amar Shmuel, Baal Chov govet ha-shavach. Here the Baal Chov, Shmuel explicitly said the Baal Chov collects the shavach. So Amar Lei Lokasha, he answered very simply, which is that there's no contradiction between Shmuel's statement of Shamin, that in those three cases, including Baal Chov Lokeach, why would you assess it if he's collecting everything? And here where he says you collect the Shavach, he says, Kam Reshavach HaMagelach Tefayim, Kam Reshavach Shein Magelach Tefayim. Imagine a field, and you have stalks that reach up to your shoulders, meaning that they're fully ripe. Then that's something that belongs to the Lokeach. He did all the work for it, he gets to keep it. But if it's Shavach, if it's still in the middle of process, so the Baal Chov gets the entire field. So Amar Lei V'Amaisim B'chol Yom HaKav Magbi Shmuel Afilu Shavach HaMagelach Tefayim. But I can prove to you it's not the case, because every day we see Shmuel, not every day, but on a regular basis, we see Shmuel collecting from the Lokeach to give to the Baal Chov, and he collects even stuff that's reached up to the shoulders, meaning even stuff that's finished. So we had a different answer. Amar Lei Lokasha, Hadam Masik Bei Kashir Ara V'Shivcha, what's the amount that the Baal Chov is suing for? If the Baal Chov is owed $1 million, and he comes to the field, the field's worth $1 million, and the Shevach's another point two, he doesn't get the Shevach. But if, on the other hand, that's the what I just read, if, on the other hand, he's coming to collect $1 million, the field's worth $800,000 and the Shevach's worth two, he's coming to collect $1 million. So the land may be depreciated since the loan, but in the meantime, the appreciation will make up the difference, so then he can collect the whole thing, whether it treats the shoulders or not. Amar Lei, so he said, Ravash said back to Rav Kahana, Hanecha l'man da'amar yid le'zuzi lokeach l'matzim salik le'bal chov. We have the following machloket. If a Baal Chov comes to collect land from the Lokeach, and the Lokeach has money, can the Lokeach force the Baal Chov to say, look, you're owed $1 million, here's $1 million, and then he'll go back to the seller and stay off the land? Or can the Baal Chov say, it's my land, get off the land? After all, what can a Baal Chov do with the original borrower? Nothing. If the original borrower has the money, he pays him. If he doesn't have the money, the Baal Chov can seize the land, but that, the borrower has Yadu'ala Yonah, he has the choice. There's a machloket in the case of coming to the Lokeach, where the Lokeach Yadu'ala Yonah or the Baal Chov Yadu'ala Yonah. So if you say that Baal Chov Yadu'ala Yonah, which means the Lokeach cannot force him to take his money shapir, then I understand that the Baal Chov has a claim on the land, and therefore, if his claim overreaches the inherent value of the land, but is equal to the value plus the appreciation, he can take it. But according to the Manda Amar that says that the Lokeach is really in the place of the original borrower, and therefore, just like the borrower can pay the Baal Chov the amount and get the Baal Chov off his land, the Lokeach can do the same thing. Why doesn't the Lokeach say, if I had money, I could have kept you away from the entire field. Now at least leave me a sliver of land which is equal to the amount of the amount that I appreciated the land. I got land worth $1 million. Now it's worth 1.2. So give me $200,000 worth of land based on the appreciation. Because after all, if I had money, I couldn't keep you away from the entire land. So at least I have claim to the appreciation. So the answer that the Gemara gives is, that this particular land was made in apotiki, meaning it was assigned for collection. That's what apotiki means. You said the only place you're going to collect from is from here. Which means, by the way, of course, if that land becomes flooded or something, the Baal Chov loses. That's what, that way an apotiki works. On the other hand, it's a guarantee because particular land that you can collect from. So he said, therefore, in a case of an apotiki, even the Manda Amar that says a Lokeach can pay the Baal Chov to leave and doesn't have a claim to the land, in the case of an apotiki, he'll agree he doesn't have such an opportunity. And the Baal Chov always can claim the land because that was the deal, the terms of the original halva. Okay, we'll stop at this point. In the next podcast, we will get to, be a shorter podcast, we'll get to the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Bet. But in the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.